Today is the day we choose to receive communion. It goes by the Lord's Supper, communion, Eucharist, various names, but actually it's a time when the believers gather together to remember what Christ has done for us. And the Eucharist and the communion have been debated about who it's for and who can partake of it. Some churches, only members of that church can partake, but and others, it's other way around. But actually, it's for everyone that Christ died for, and you have accepted his salvation. You know, there's debates whether it should be everybody drank from the same cup, and that's not good, but in some areas, that's the way it is. And whether you should have many cups, all these things have been debated, and does the elements actually turn to the blood and the body of Christ, which is not, that's not true. Actually, that actually comes from St. Thomas Aquinas of the Catholic Church, the theory or the doctrine of transubstantiation, you know. But if you go back to the Bible, the way Christ instituted it when he was celebrating the Passover Supper, which the Jewish people celebrated, God had told them to celebrate that with a dinner because of their being delivered from Egypt. And so Christ instituted breaking the bread and the wine. Now, some people had debated what the elements should be. Well, I know of people that they didn't have any grape juice or whatever or any unleavened bread, so actually, it was a group of people that was camping, and they wanted to take communion, and they didn't have nothing but Dr. Pepper and some potato chips. But that's what they used. But really, it's not the elements. It's what you are saying with your representation of what Christ has done for you by his death on the cross. Now, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32, says, "For I have received in the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when we give him thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are sick and weak among you, and many sleep," or many have died, that's the word sleep there. "If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Now, it's through communion that we keep a focus on the redemptive work that Christ did for us at Calvary. it's also we keep our focus on some other things. And as we partake of communion today, or before we partake, I want to look at some of these things that we look at. Number one, we look at this. We read there in verses 23 and 24 and 25, and then at the end he said, "This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's first look at the past and realize the sacrifice that Jesus made for us unselfishly. What he did at the cross gave us our salvation. You know, actually, the Word of God says, while we were yet sinners. You know, before any one of us deserved it, he went to the cross for us, for all mankind, to provide salvation, to provide healing, to provide deliverance, to provide the needs of all humanity. You know, we need to look back at what Christ has done for us. And as we take communion, we need to be thankful. You see, so many times people just, oh, it's communion time. Well, no, it's not. It's just communion time. It is an opportunity that we have to celebrate what Christ has done for us. You know, we got to look back and see it was instituted at the Passover feast supper, which they were celebrating their deliverance from Egypt. Now, if you do some types and shadows and study, you'll find out that Egypt is a type of sin. They were delivered by the blood of the lamb that was slain and the blood put on the door. Christ, at that Passover feast, realized he was going to the cross to shed, be the Lamb of God, to shed his blood. So he instituted what I call our Passover feast, the communion, in which we look back and remember what he did. He delivered us. That's what that Passover feast was about. That's what the communion is about. So that's one thing that we do. We look back at Jesus. But another thing that we do is that we look ahead. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So we look to the future. We look to a time when Christ will return, come again. You know, many people look forward to this because it's going to get them out of whatever they're in now. Well, they could get out of it if they just study the Word of God and find out that what this communion represents, it represents all the good things that we can have, the life that we can have to live down here now. You know, I read a little deal here. It says, someone asked Dwight L. Moody, and if you don't know who he was, go Google him and he'll tell you, but he was a great evangelist back in the day. And they asked him, if you knew the Lord would return tonight, how would you spend the rest of this day? And said, Mr. Moody replied without hesitation, I wouldn't do anything different than I do every day. You know, that's what we all need to say. We all need to say, hey, live so we don't have to regret anything. looking ahead to his coming again helps us to stay focused on our daily walk with the Lord, because we don't know the day or the time that he will return, so we need to be ready all the time. Looking ahead to his return helps to guide you, and so that you are living the life that he would be pleased with when he comes back. Looking ahead to his return gives us a direction. We are living a life for God, directed toward the final reward that we receive when Christ returns. Now, let's look, begin to get some into some real, what you sometimes call nitty-gritty stuff. We have to look within. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man or a person examine themselves, so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. So the next thing we look at is within. Now, a lot of people don't like this, because when you start going that direction, you have to begin to maybe say, uh-oh, I don't need to be doing that. Come on now. Are we, when we look at ourselves, are we striving to live as holy before God as possible? I'm not talking about living by somebody's do's or don'ts. That doesn't make any difference, or somebody's traditions. I'm talking about living in line with what the Word of God says about our lives. You know, so much of the time, so many people are speaking today, and they're not taking the whole context of the Word of God. They're just taking bits and pieces of it to make it fit what they believe. Well, I guess that's all right. I don't know. But I think we need to examine ourselves, and are our lives that we are living, is it the same day after day after day after day after day, or do we ride a roller coaster? Up one day, down the next. You see, when you examine yourself and realize, hey, that's not the way I'm to live. I am supposed to live in line with God's word, living a victorious life every day. You know, now, you just don't continually, you know, look at yourself every day. But, you know, periodically you need to do this. Because when you look at yourself, are you totally committed to God and to Christ and the things of God? Now, this is not something we get up and do every day. Oh, then the devil will pull you over here, and you'll be even afraid to breathe. But it's just something that you need to do periodically. How many of you drive an automobile or have one? How many of you periodically, the new ones, but used to have to keep it yourself, like write it down on a piece of paper, ever so many thousand miles, you take that car in for a checkup. The new ones, it tells you on your dashboard, and that little, it'll come up and say, my car, it comes up and say, okay, service due in 1,000 miles, and then it just counts it down. tongue. That's so that we make sure that the car is doing what it's supposed to do, and if there's something needs to be fixed, it's not so, and it's not operating properly, it can be corrected. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about looking at ourselves and evaluating ourselves. You know, you might look in the mirror and just say, am I really the kind of Christian I'm supposed to be? I mean, that's a fair question to ask all the time, anytime. Am I living the Christian life the way it's supposed to be lived? Come on now. Is this helping anybody? I'm just trying to give you the reasons, some of the reasons that we have communion. You know, now, it said here, examine ourselves. Now, if you study this, you'll find out that Apostle Paul was actually writing this, but it's for everybody, to that Corinthian church because they were partaking of the communion in an unworthy manner. They were arguing and fighting among one another. And Paul's saying here, look at yourself. And if you have to, make some adjustments, because it said judge yourself, lest you be judged. Well, God gives everybody an opportunity. My dad used to say, God gives people an opportunity to judge themselves, and if they don't, he has to judge them. Well, that's what Paul is talking about there. I mean, now don't get under condemnation. There's no condemnation. It's just the fact, listen, am I partaking of communion the way it's supposed to be partaken of, in honoring of Christ and what he did for me, and so forth and so on? We've already talked about it, so no use talking about it again. Now, let's go to one last thing here. We need, it says here, whoever eats this or drinks this in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, we need to go to that. Look at that. Not discerning the Lord's body. Well, what does that mean? Not discerning the Lord's body. Actually, it's a twofold thing or a two-pronged thing. First, it refers to observing the beaten and broken body of Jesus Christ that provided healing for us properly. And secondly, it refers to properly recognizing other members of the body of Christ. Now see, the body of Christ, the church, it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ecclesia, it's called. It's the church. That includes everybody that's born again. Then there are local churches. But we need to recognize the only thing you have to do to have salvation is to believe and confess that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose again, and you believe that in your heart and you confess that with your mouth. That's the only thing you have to believe. You don't have to believe in healing. You don't have to believe that God wants to bless you. You don't even have to believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you, oh, well, wait a minute, wait. No. The only prerequisite for going to heaven is salvation, redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All the other is the icing on the cake, we might want to say. It's the benefits that God has provided for us through Jesus. And so we've got to recognize people that are genuinely born again. I'm not talking to people that are just playing religion. I'm not just talking about people that go to church, okay? But I'm talking about recognizing the true believers, whether we believe doctrinally the way they do or not. Now, there's some people that won't fellowship with somebody because you get into end time teaching, and some people believe that Jesus is going to come back before the tribulation. Some people believe that he's going to come back at the end, and at the middle, and some come believe at the end. Well, you know, hey, I'm not going to argue with them either way. I know the way I see it from what I read, but I'm not going to argue with them either way because especially the pre and the mid, we have all kinds of scriptures to back us up, but we don't know exactly. But, if they are truly born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they believe the way I believe about the end time, they're still a part of the body of Christ, whether they agree with me on that or not. You see, or whether they agree about healing. You see, I'm talking about recognizing other believers and their talents and their place in the body of Christ. You see, I'm talking about what Jesus talked about, walking in love. Now, that's a whole new subject I could go down the road for, but I'm just going to talk about that. You know, walking in love toward the other members in the body of Christ. I don't ever get on there. I look at it, but there's a lot of people in the body of Christ. I mean, you're talking about arguing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I see some Rhema people get on there, and I say, why don't they just keep their mouth shut? You're not going to change them anyway. It said, there's a saying that says, a man convinced against his will is still of the same opinion still. But just because they don't believe exactly the way I believe about some other doctrine, as long as they believe and live the life of salvation, the life of redemption, then I can fellowship with them. But do you know what? There's a lot of church members that just because they're not a member of that church, they won't fellowship with them. Hello, come on now. Don't look at me like that. You know it's so. You probably know some people. Any of you know some people like that? See, we need to learn to appreciate the entire body of Christ. No man is an island. We need one another. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man or one person sharpens another. We become better people when we spend time together. See, people need to see Jesus in us, and we need to see Jesus in them. We need to set godly examples before everybody. You know, I haven't taken very long with this, but I just wanted to do a little explanation about communion. Because many people come from many different backgrounds and you've heard different things. And I just like to try to, you know, help people really understand communion. So today, as we partake of communion, we look back at the cross of Calvary. We look ahead to his second coming. We look within to examine ourselves. And we look around to recognize the body of Christ. I trust you got something out of this explanation today. Heavenly Father, help us to realize and understand the true meaning of communion. I thank you for it in Jesus' name.